Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning of Part 1. Please refer to program notes for the scheduled date and time of Part 2. Thank you for supporting Prophecy Keepers Radio with your tax-deductible offerings to the Oklava Native American Church of the White Roots of Peace. Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Josh Agonier, Will Bluewater, a 7th grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evenings and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Aginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody, this is your old buddy Blue Otter, coming to you from Booger County and mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. And our honored guest this week is Shoshone Elder Benny E. LeBeau Sr. His website is at www.teton-rainbows.com. And on behalf of the entire Prophecy Keepers family, we'd like to give you our condolences in the recent loss of your daughter. I know she's going to be missed. So welcome to the show. Benny, how are you today?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Getting over a slight cold, but other than that, great.
Well, I know last year a lot of folks got announcements about your Grand Teton Medicine Wheel that you were organizing, and so in light of what's gone on in the media, you know, with regards to Yellowstone, start wherever you'd like to, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and what put you on this road, and just go ahead and, you know, talk about whatever you'd like to talk about.
Well, I'm 54 years old, and I'm from the Wind River Indian Reservation in the center of Wyoming, in the Wind River Mountain Range, and I was raised on a reservation, born on a reservation in 1950, and I've lived there until all my life, until I went to Vietnam in 1970 and came back in 1974, and then I came back to the reservation. As a young boy, I've been having many visitations by little people, call them the Ninibiat, different spiritual entities on the river, the fairies and Bigfoot and other things that visited me when I was a young boy. And because of things that's going up, gone on the reservations, it's very hard for us to stay in a good, loving, caring way as being young and then coming into, you know, adulthood through the young years and then teenage and so on and so forth as teenagers. But I began to become very angry and hurt at certain ages because of what was going on with the people. And I lost all track of what I was being told at that time by the dwarfs, little people. And at that time, they told me I had a very important job to do when I had got older, but I had forgotten until a few years back, and then I began to remember. I've been involved within our Sundances and watched them ever since I was a young boy, and the ceremonies that was going on, and the people were in loving, caring relationships more in the 1950s than I could remember, that they cared for each other a lot. Came into the 60s, I noticed that the families began to separate, and I wondered what was going on, and I couldn't understand why it had been that way, and cousins weren't close anymore, the uncles, aunties drifted apart, grandpas and fights were happening in the families, and I thought, man, this is not good, and as a child, it was a loving, caring relationship with the people, more than what I had ever thought could happen was this turmoil of the people being separated now because of anger and hatred and jealousy and pain and all that they were causing upon one another, and I wondered how it would ever end. And then I looked at all of our children, similar to my age group, who I was grew up with, say around 30 people. And I used to be in the mountains a lot. And so when I came back after Vietnam, the people I knew, many of us went to the mountains. We hunted and fished and stayed in the high country above Fort Washakie on our reservation here in Wyoming, and hunted and fished and trapped, and was like staying up there with all of our friends. But out of those 30 friends over the years, there's probably four of them left. They're all, most of them passed away because of suicides, car wrecks, murder, many things have taken place with them, and there's only a few left. And then I began starting having more dreams and visions, and I tried to stay in peace with myself and go into the Sundances. But then I had fallen into many dark places and anger and hatred myself, and began to fall into alcoholism and the drugs and things. So then I didn't want to stick around on the land, so I wanted to leave this planet like many of my other people were leaving. But I could never die, and I thought, what's wrong? And then one time I had got so upset, I went out and cursed God, the Creator, everything I had understood that was supposed to be that realm. And that night I had an experience after I came back in on a full moon, and these messengers arrived. And since that time I started getting many dreams and visions, and then my life changed because I was at the end of my rope, I figured, and there was no hope because of the anger and the hatred I'd seen on my reservation. And then things began to come and talk to me, and so I started having dreams, like I said, and then I, in the Sundance, I had this dream in the Sundance of about many Sundances taking place at once, and in the center was one, and then around the outside in a circle, a long distance out, there was other circles, looks like Sundance lodges, I thought that's what they were. And at that time, when this vision and this dream came to me, I was laying outside of the Sundance lodge, and there were many people laying all over the place, sleeping behind sagebrush. And as I was looking at the people, this great big tall spirit came, this giant, and he was bothering the people, and he was picking them up, slapping them around and just doing awful things to them. So when it came to me, I asked him why he was doing that, and he said, because I can, and I can do whatever I want. And I said, you can't do that to the people, you leave them alone. And he said, so he grabbed hold of me and picked me up by my feet and held me way up in the air in my dream. And I looked at him, I said, you're not even a man, you're nothing. And so I reached down between his legs to try to do something to him to get loose from him, and he didn't have any sex organs or anything like that. So I told him, see, you're not even real. When I said that, he dropped me, and I started falling towards the earth head first, and I thought, well, I'm going to probably break my neck on the way down. I was falling, and before I hit the ground, I turned into an eagle, and I flew way up into the sky and looked down. When I looked down, I seen a great big huge medicine well, one Sundance in the middle. Then I saw around in a circle for long distance was other Sundance in a medicine well circle, and in circles. And then I flew into the mountains where I used to go, and I sat by this waterfall and stream, and then as an eagle I started to bend over down into the water and get a drink, and then I woke up in Sundance. I wondered, what was this all about? So I went to my medicine people, asked them what I had seen and what this was about, because I didn't understand it. And they didn't know either. They couldn't tell me. And they said, I guess the time's not right. I guess sometime in the future you'll know. So what it was later, so that was in the 70s, late 70s. And I continued to do more dancing, and there was lots of problems on a reservation. And eventually I had another dream. I had been asked to be a sub-chief in our Sundances by one of our Sundance chiefs on a reservation, so I started helping him for 5 to 7 years in between there, and helping him as a sub-chief in the Sundance. So then I started having more dreams again, started coming, and I got a dream that came from the Grand Tetons, which was our sacred sites, and had been taken away from us and was now under the control of the Grand Teton National Park. And at that time, the spirit came to me and his grandfather and asked and showed me that there was lots of problems in the mountains in the area all around there, and that they wanted me to give a message to my Sundance leader that there was needed to be a Sundance there, and to vibrate and to pray for the animals and the ancestors. The burials were being found and dug up, and they needed some help in the mountains and the rocks and the trees and rivers and the lakes, and they needed a great healing and a prayer for those mountains. And so those mountains have names in the Shoshone language here, with the people who live in the area, with the Bannocks, Shoshone Bannocks, and the Eastern Shoshones, and the Shoshones as a whole. And so now they were calling for the Sundance. So in 1999, I had this dream, and I called him. He was visiting with some people in Texas at the time, and I mentioned to him about what I dreamt about. So he said he would think about that. And so then he called me back a week later and says, okay, I think this is a good vision and a dream, and the mountains and those things need help. And the spirits has called upon us to do a great ceremony to help them heal up there and to help the area and bring it back into harmony. So we began on that journey, and so we went to the Grand Teton National Park. They wouldn't allow us to use the lands. They allowed us to go in and pray and that kind of thing, but they would never allow us to do ceremonies because we couldn't cut trees and do things like that and have our sweat lodge ceremonies in the National Grand Teton National Park or Yellowstone National Park. So we called some meetings together with the Tribal Business Council, Shoshone Tribal Business Council at that time, in the year 2000, in early January, and called in the Grand Teton National Park and park officials, and they were saying that they needed the okay from the business councils to to give the okay for us to go do what we're doing. And the business councils were not in a great form of helping us at that time because of this vision and dream, and they were asking, well, why are you leaving the reservation? We have everything here at this time. And so they knew that at this time in 1934 through the Indian Reorganization Act that before that time period, the traditional government were the spiritual leaders who kept things under control, and they worked through their traditional ways of keeping people educated and in our cultures and traditions to have peace. But now that this new Indian Reorganization Act was coming in to have like a mini United States government type thing controlling our people now, and they came up with the business council. The traditional leaders had put into effect into those bylaws and guidelines, saying that when it came to doing anything with the spiritual ceremonies, culture, and traditions, that they had no say-so in those things, and it would be up to the traditional people who were doing the ceremonies to make those decisions, and the business councils had no power to either say yes or no to anything, because they foresaw that down the road that they would not be in the ceremonies, and so they had been given those messages and visions at that time, because what was going to take place in the future is what's going on now. The business councils have turned into be Christianity, so they're the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're the Mormons, they're the Catholics, Episcopalians. Some of them don't have any belief in anything. And so through that, they would go against the traditional peoples who were doing their ceremonies, and it would go away, and it would be taken out of the tribal nations. And so now it came into play that the national parks wanted the people of the reservation, the business council, and the people to come together to make a decision saying yes to us allowing us to have the Sundance in the Grand Teton National Park. And when they came, we talked with the business council, and the business council told them that they could not make a decision like that because of what I just mentioned, and so the national park left. So then in the regulations and that they have in the national parks is that they will help promote our culture so it wouldn't disappear. But the Grand Tetons was in our treaty saying it was unoccupied lands and they would hold it in trust for us. But through the history, it was taken away from us and adopted by Rockefeller. He bought that land and many other places up there. And now he sold it to the United States for a national park. So therefore, because of those things, we haven't been able to get into the national park to do our ceremonies. And then the next business council comes in. We're getting ready to do another Sundance, and then they come back down and say, we have to have an okay to do a Sundance. But who we've been pushed out of the national park, I forgot to mention, was that we had to go into the Bridger-Teton National Forest to do our Sundance now, which was off the edge of the national park by the river up there, the Snake River, Yellowstone Park, and down through the Grand Teton Park is a huge river that runs through there. So we were pushed on the other side of that river, and now we had to go a long distance away, and that's the only place that we could use the areas for our Sundance was in the multiple use areas of the Forest Service. So they allowed us to do that in the year 2000. So we had a hard time with the hate groups that persecuted and many other places that we had been to. Now we were kind of in the crossfire between that with the business council. People didn't understand what was going on up there, so they did not want to help support us. But we did the Sundance anyway. People came, and we did that. So we continued to do that. So every year came, we had persecutions by outside hate groups. We had pressure by the Bridger-Teton National Forest through regulations. You couldn't cut trees. We couldn't do this, couldn't do that. We had to have toilets. We had to bear certain trash containers that were bear-proof. And so it turned into a great big, huge amount of money had to be paid in order to do a Sundance. And every regulation said we had to have something that we didn't have. And what we had to get then would cost lots of money. So it was almost like pushing us out of the areas because our tribe didn't want to support us. So we had to do the best we could. So we did it on donations. So we went through that. And at that time, the mountains were speaking in the Sundance, and we were trying to do the best we could. So for 3 years, we went through that. And then, so when 2003 came, I had been asked by my elders now to go to college in 1997 to study the cultures in college and what they were teaching, and why they were not listening to us as indigenous peoples, as Shoshones and other tribal nations. So at that time I was 47 years old, and that was 1997. So I didn't want to go, and I wanted to stay home because I was already walking with my teacher, my brother, and I was learning a lot of things in nature, and we were doing ceremonies in the rock art in the petroglyphs, and they were talking about our ceremonies, the past, how things worked with the earth, and was beginning to gather great information, and I was really loving it, and thought, oh, this is what I've been looking for all my life, and, you know, and this is just, it's taking me out of my suicidal thoughts, my sadness, and drinking, and partying, and all those things I was going through was like all of my other brothers and sisters on the reservations.
Well, Benny, let's take a short break, and then we'll talk about a little bit further, okay? Hang on just one second, folks. We'll be right back.
Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
And so when we fell from our teachings and our knowledges of being respectful towards one another and knowing that we were told, if we're going to cook the food, whoever was cooking the food, the women, or anyone for that matter, that their thoughts were to be of love, peace, and harmony, and praying and blessing the food constantly as they were cooking it. If they didn't do that and they had anger and they were mad and upset because something happened, that food turned to those because of the thoughts. And that's how powerful the thoughts were. So our indigenous peoples knew these things of the past. And we had been given these original instructions of how this energy worked. And that was because of the sacred sites that held that electrical magnetic energy. And getting into to doing these kinds of works now was what I was sent to college to understand and study them and try to begin to understand why and what was being taught there, and to come back and talk to my elders and tell them what I found and what I seen and what I saw there and what I had heard. So when I came back, told them, they did not like what I said, what I had told. Come back and reported that in the colleges and the most of the education systems there's nothing there to help support, protect the earth. They have ecology programs, but they're still not up to par to help and protect the earth, and there's no information there that tells us what happens when we're destroying the earth with mining and development and all the other things. And so through that, we were sending our children into an area that was taken away from the reservation. And besides that, when they came back to the reservation with the education and the things they got, there was very few jobs for them to support or people on reservation. And that was through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which was another entity that was teaching mining, development, so on and so forth to the sacred sites. And then the tribal government, and they were supporting mining, oil, and so forth too. And so there was a very few jobs. But because of the education now, because of the traditional knowledge and the wisdom of the earth, it was being taken away from our people who were being sent into colleges to come back to support the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the tribal business councils. Because now that's a mini United States government, and they were starting to take the people and train them and brainwash them into another society to destroy the earth. And the wisdoms and the things that was there, it was starting to disappear. Now, there were some programs that was trying to help it, but the other power was coming in and overrunning it. And now, within these systems, within the traditional government of the traditional leaders, that was set in motion to keep this wisdom aware, to keep things working, was being separated, and they were not even being asked at all to help bring in the messages and the wisdom of how the earth worked. And I told them that, and so they became upset. That can't be. And so, anyway, it was a hard thing for me to talk to them and tell them that. And they disagreed with me. We were told to get educated. I said, yes, we're told to get educated. But we're being educated and we come back. The education is going towards developing and mining and doing all these other things and not helping us one bit. It's taken away from the earth. So we have droughts up here. We're starting to have tornadoes now and the earthquakes and other things. And so in Yellowstone, these things were beginning to happen because of the dream of 1999 that the mountains needed help up in the Grand Tetons in the Yellowstone area. They were talking about the development and the vibration and the things that was going on in the Grand Tetons and the Yellowstone National Park around Yellowstone Lake, because now there was a caldera, a big bubble, like a cone coming up out of the bottom of the lake and rising 10 stories tall. There was poisonous gases coming out around the edge of the lake. The trees were dying, the grasses were dying, the water was getting hot, and the fish were dying in the lake. The animals were beginning to leave the port too because of the vibration of hundreds and hundreds of earthquake action that was taking place in 2003 going into 2004. And so in 2003 I was in Flagstaff, Arizona, 2002-2003 at the Northern Arizona University studying cultural anthropology and applied indigenous studies, and I was almost ready to get my degree when the spirits came to me and said time was short again, and that I had to leave college and get out of there. I had learned enough lies and these things, and I had to leave, and I told them, no, I'm almost done to get my degree. If I quit now, I'll never get my degree. I said, the degrees aren't going to count in the future. It's not going to be worth anything, even what's on the paper. I said, I don't think so. I'm going to go against what you're saying. I'm going to get done with my degree. And they said, no, you're not. We will not let you rest. You're to leave and go into the canyons, back into the rock art, and into the canyons and the valleys and the deserts and learn what is in the true college of the earth, is the earth wisdom is waiting there for you and for you to go. And I said, I'm going to get my degree, then I'll go. And they said, no, time is short. You got to go now. I didn't listen. So when I was in the classrooms, those spiritual entities came in and bothered me and would not let me concentrate on what I was supposed to be, thought I was supposed to get and write down so I could get my degree, and then I could say, well, I got my degree now, I can do this and do that and say all these other things. Well, they wouldn't let me rest. I went to the library to study the books, to do the reports they wanted, and they wouldn't allow me to really meditate or to gather the information I needed. Then when I went back to my room or my apartment and dorm rooms, they kept me awake all night, so eventually my grades went down because I was so tired. Eventually I said, okay.
They passed around your bed.
So I left. Then I went into the valleys and the canyons in Arizona, around Flagstaff, around the springs. And around the springs were a lot of rock art writings. And so through there they told me where to go to these areas and to do ceremonies and to understand circles. So they taught me about the medicine hole ceremony that now was coming into effect. It was the same similar thing that we were already doing called the Sundance. It's a huge medicine wheel that we erect. And now was the time of the womb springs have been, or like the breaking of the waters where life comes from through mother. It's like a baby's being born through a woman, the water breaks and then the baby comes to life and comes into birth. And so now the water springs is the womb springs. It's like the breaking of the sacred water coming from the woman. And it gives us life there and is rebirthing all the time. And what's happening in those womb springs is they're being raped. And so in those springs I went to, they had metal pipes stuck into those springs, plastic PCV pipes. They were putting back holes, gouging those areas, and they're also dynamiting them places and blowing up the womb of Mother Earth. And that alone disconnected the electrical magnetic energy that connects to the water, because water is real sensitive to electricity, and that electricity is what we have, and then when that takes place, it disconnects electrical energy, and then the heartbeat lowers in the area, and then when there's no electrical energy and there's no heartbeat, it's like a man or a woman dies, and they have to take the two electrical, those components and put it on their chest and shock them back into life. And that's what they were saying, that these areas needed, because when the man or woman gets shocked with that electrical shock, it resets the heart, and then the heart pumps, and the electricity goes back into the nerves, which is the wiring system for the body to carry the electrical charge to the body to allow the water or the blood to pump through the body. And now they were showing me that, and that those areas were low on energy, and the heartbeat was low because of mining and development. Around the areas, they cut highways and roads and pipelines and et cetera, oil lines, gas lines, all those kinds, et cetera. All that kind of development. And it was destroying the electrical magnetic energy on the surface, which meant they were destroying the web of life. And that web of life was electrical magnetic energy lines known as ley lines. And those ley lines were being cut in half. And when they cut one in half, that meant the electrical circuiting of grandmother's spider's web of life. Around the earth, there's those energy lines, and they connect to the sacred sites in lines. So everything is connected and works together in oneness. But now what was happening was the oneness was being disconnected, and every time they cut one of the electrical energy lines in half or did something to the springs, the electrical energy was now leaving. The electrical energy in the area that's connected allows the springs to run, like I mentioned, and also the rain to fall there. When that energy is disconnected there, the rain just passes over the areas, which means droughts, because they destroy the sacred site. And those sacred sites are where there's gold, silver, clay, and all that, and other minerals, copper, zinc, you name it, is out there. And in those areas, it's which holds the ley lines together. And when they develop in them, there's spirals that come out from the atmosphere of above us and connects to those, and that's electrical energy of a spiral. It connects to the places. When they drill for oil, or they cut holes into the earth and take those metals and precious jewels like diamonds, rubies, you name it, out of the earth, it disconnects electrical magnetic energy in that place. That energy that's there is electrical, and it disappears. And then those spirals that are once there disconnected, they wave above the earth, and that's the weather patterns that are changing. They're going back and forth. The animals are flying different directions. They don't know which way they're going, because they're going erratic, because those energy lines are now moving and the spirals are up there flopping loose. It's like an electrical energy line, that high wire line, that's the line gets broken. The energy that runs through that electrical line that comes to her house spirals through that electrical line. Once it's broken, that line will fall down and hit the ground, and it will jump all over the place because it's got a spiral spinning through it. It means electrical energy. If it's trying to connect to the one that broke from, if it touches it, then it will stop jumping. So it's like the same thing. So similar when we take down a mountain peak, for instance, with telescopes, observatories, which shave the top of that peak off, that spiral disconnects from there and waves like that electrical energy line and moves. So now when about 20 and 30, 40 and 50 and 100 or 1,000 of those places are disturbed in the area, that electrical energy that's like the electrical energy line is sparking, jumping around, now sparks in the clouds. And then that, out of that cloud will come rain and hail. Then out of that will follow that will be a tornado. Spiraling down, all those spirals will tune together, come together and be one. And now they'll hunt on the earth looking for the electrical node point known as the sacred site. And then it becomes destroyed. It'll destroy anything that's there, in other words, churches, houses, anything that's there, trailer parks, etc., like in Tornado Alley. So that's what's happened in the sacred sites. And the droughts are being made because of development. And that's what they showed me in the rock art and the petroglyphs. And that's what I was being showed now, was that education of the earth and those things in Arizona. So I went in a big, huge circle, and they told me to do a certain ceremony in these areas, and so I did that. And so I repaired those places. And so, in 2003, I went and did that in June of 2003, and repaired those places. And the last place I went to was in Page, Arizona, at the dam there, and did the last one that they wanted me to do. And at that time, I saw the energy shoot from the Holy Ones, came from the heavens, and electrified all of those places I'd been and charged them. And then the lightning, the thunder, and the clouds came, and then it rained from June until September of 2003, and filled up all the reservoirs in the area there, because of the ceremonies they had taught me, was to go into those areas around in the Hopi lands and the Navajo lands. And I did the prayers on those places. And out there, the indigenous nations are not out into the lands doing the work that they had once did anymore, because they're in turmoil and fighting who's right, who's wrong. And that's what the Spirit said. But now is the time that no one's right and wrong. It's that the people have lost their wisdom because of anger and hatred, of pointing who's right and who's wrong. And that the message had to go to the tribes now. And I was to go into a huge medicine hole ceremony now that was to be 1,200 miles north and south and 1,200 miles east and west. And the Grand Tetons was the center, in the middle, because of the volcano. And if we would do these things all together, and the Spirit said, talk to the people, tell the people that the white people are not going away, neither are the black people or the red people or the yellow nations either, that they're never all going away, because they're all going to be together now. They're to be brothers and sisters, and Mother Earth is calling them back together to come to the sacred sites, 19 of them in the area. On the west was the mountains, and on the east was the rivers. And so I traveled in the end of 2003 now into September. October and November was coming, and they told me it was time to move and travel to the indigenous nations. And around those indigenous nations and the sacred sites was to talk to them and ask them to come sit on their sacred mountains and do ceremonies and repair those mountains and recharge them like a dead man with electrical charge, and restart the energy, the heartbeat to those mountains, and get them ready for a medicine well ceremony on May 8th of 2004. And this was in September of 2003. But when I came back home and told my people I wasn't going back to college, they were upset that I was quitting, and the tribal people too. And I said, where'd you get all this stuff? I said, dreams. And they were coming and saying these things, and we needed help. So I went to my people on our Indian reservation here, and they didn't believe me. They didn't want to help. And most every reservation I went to didn't want to help. There was a handful of tribal nations who helped on those 19 places, but three-fourths of the people that came were the white people. And they were having the same dreams and visions similar to what I was, and even people in England, Australia, Japan, Africa were sending me emails now, because I sent out a message on the harmonic concordance in November that this thing was happening, and I heard about that. So I got in touch with some people, and I sent them a message about what was going on in Yellowstone, and my dream and the vision was for the people to come together. So they sent out many messages. And so I went on my journey now, traveling in that huge circle, and had hardly any money. But people started sending donations. And so finally, by about May 1st of 2004, I finally finished the last one, which was in Arizona, in Flagstaff. That was the very last one to do. And At that time, I ran into a man called Dr. Emoto, who was doing a talk there about the spirit of the water on the mesas in Hopi. And that the water had on them, and the springs had no spirit. Dr. Emoto has much stuff out, talks about messages from water and things, and so the electrical energy is not in the water, it's dead, and when it's charged with their mind and their thoughts, and it turns back into purity and turns back into crystal shapes. So I talked to him, and at that time the Hopis were with him, and that was, when I first went there, that was April, my first stop, and now I was there towards the end of May, and so he was there again. And I talked to the Hopis and asked them if they could come help, and they said no, they couldn't do that. So again, we used this area called Hopi Springs, which was now in control of the forest. And the Hopis and other people just very seldom go there, and it's kind of like a tourism place where people travel and go in there. And that spring became dry and had a big pipe stuck into it. So that was the last one we did, and because of what's happened on the lands of cutting and dissecting the land and crisscrossing in Hopi lands, they're doing the same thing out there and destroying the electrical magnetic energy. And I tried to talk about these things, but the tribes didn't want to listen. They thought, who am I? Who are you? What are you trying to do? I said, there's a volcano in Yellowstone and it's ready to erupt. And the scientists are saying if it explodes, it'll be 200 times the size of what Mount St. Helens is, they're saying. It's a super, super volcano. And so there was hundreds and hundreds of earthquakes taking place from January of 2003 going into May of 2004.
Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something. And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
Now we're back. So now that this activity was so evident in the national park, and because of my dream back in the early or the late 70s, I talked about seeing this big, huge circle coming together of a Sundance in the middle, and I thought on the outside was many other Sundances, which maybe that still is, but to me it was now. I imaged it and saw it again in my mind, and it was this medicine well ceremony that was now coming forth. So I had seen this image of a huge thing that was put on the earth, and it was a stargate. And so this, they say, what's above is below. So the star systems connect to the mountains and the mountain peaks in the different areas of the sacred sites. And so what's below is above. So that's the connection to the stars that we have. And so then I begin to get more messages, looking at rock art, petroglyphs, and beginning to understand that there was more to this information than what I really even really understood. And more things were coming into effect. So I was visiting with many cultures of the indigenous nations and other peoples in the areas of their spiritualities, and that was the same thing that we have, from the Tibetans to the Egyptians to Buddhism and now into Shintoism and other places, which had the same information that I was talking about. And we once all had these knowledges and wisdoms. And now it was important for me to see that we were all had this understanding, but now we had fell from our wisdoms and were being taken out by education, and that education needed to understand the importance of the sacred sites. So a senator came to our CWC, Central Wyoming College, here on the reservation, and once I asked him about what was wrong, why didn't they want to listen to the indigenous nations about sacred sites. And he says, this is information to me, that until the tribal nations come together in peace and can come up to an interpretation of what a sacred site is and what it means and what happens when it's developed and those things, and none of the tribal nations can do that right now because they have no text or nothing in writing to show that, no proof, and even speak about it. All they say is, protect the sacred sites. And they say, protect the sacred sites because there's burials or altars. Well, that's not good enough for them. They want to know what happens and why it's important to protect the sacred sites. And they could never give that information. And besides that, there was 500 now federally recognized tribes, and they were all fighting each other until they come into to come up with one interpretation of what sacred sites was and what was interpreted to be sacred. Then they would listen. But until those tribes quit fighting, they would not pay any attention to them. And in the Constitution, it says they have a right to prosperity, and the earth was put here at their disposal to use for riches, and that's what they would do. And the tribes could do nothing about it until they come into one interpretation. That meant that they're all fighting, and they're fighting over 500 different interpretations of what sacred sites are about. And that's exactly what's taking place because of who's right and who's wrong. And that's what was said in my dream and my vision, was that because of this, what's going on with the tribes, it's the same thing that they all have, but they forgot the importance of what sacred sites really mean.
Well, let me ask you a question here. You said their constitution said that they had the right to happiness, and that they believed that they had the right to develop the earth and so forth. Now, was that the religious belief of the white peoples? Is that what you're saying? Because
it's in the Constitution that says they have the right to prosperity in the United States. That means you could do anything you want to do to become rich. For prosperity, and that means you can go out, buy land, do this, do that, and everything we get in America comes from the land, and you have to own the land in order to get the resources out of the land. And so by doing that, that gives the people the power to pillage and rape Mother Earth.
Well, next time one of them brings that up, you might mention to them that the laws of the United States and of Britain are based on the Holy Bible, and the Holy Bible says the time will come that it's time to kill those who are killing the earth.
Well, the time of these prophecies and the vision says that we will stay in peace, and Mother Earth and the Creator God will take care of those things, and it's happening now.
Yep.
And so if we were to stay in peace and not bring sword upon word upon word, bickering and fighting to each other is like two swords striking, and the fight would continue. Until we stop doing those things and stay in peace and come to the understanding what sacred sites are about and the sacredness and using thought forms and being in peace, then those who did that would inherit the earth through the prophecies and the visions. Only those who would do those things at this time of the powerful end of the 2012 coming, and the end of this world, of this time period, but the earth is not going to be destroyed. The earth will always be here, but man will not be if they continue to do what they're doing. Only those who stay in peace will be here. So people go on and talk about this thing that's happening. So now, you know, this is we're going into another area. I don't want to go there because I'm not done talking about this other thing. So because of what the senator had said, set me off to find out what sacred sites were about and learn how they worked, what they were about, and how the electrical magnetic energy that works there is the same energy we have. And so the energy is a matrix in the oxygen in the air we walk through every day, walking across the surface of the earth. And the electrical energy on the surface of the planet goes into our feet, and then we're touched by Mother with electrical energy in our feet, and then electrical energy going into the top of our head. We're like little bumper cars in a circus or a carnival that zooms back and forth. So now what's happening, we're just connecting electrical energy on the surface and making dead zones that was making the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, and so on and so forth, was because of bad sound and bad vibration. Those things were now taking place in effect. And so, with these kinds of knowledges that was being given to me, I begin to see the importance that Mother Earth was in the center of a sat of a, like a nucleus. So it's like the egg of a woman in her ovaries. The electrical energy comes down and spirals into the egg. And then when the baby is formed in that nucleus and it starts splitting and forming, it turns into a spiral. Everything is based on a spiral. And so that spiral is what is connected to the sacred sites, and that spiral goes down to the top of our head, which is called DNA, and goes through our vertebrae down to the tailbone. Then our body forms around it, and the bones and everything else is made and formed. And so those things is what keeps us in to be on Mother Earth. And we're formed, and we're sent here as electrical energy, a spark, through sexuality, and then we came into being through the woman, because of the vibration through sexuality. And so through those things, we came in. It's all about vibration, sound, and colors.
That's right.
And so now those colors and the sound and the vibration is what is being taken from the earth and taken out of harmony. Everything that's in harmony is vibrating with a certain pitch and a sound, and everything is vibrating together. But when a bulldozer goes in there, or a tank, or bad noise, and scrapes the earth like a bulldozer or a tank shooting a missile and blowing things up, takes things out of balance, takes out of harmony. So now all that sound was taking place in Yellowstone, and what happened in Yellowstone National Park was because of these highways and roads and mining and development in certain areas in the past were taking place, that was shaking the earth. And Yellowstone is the lungs of Mother Earth. So when she breathes, the geysers go up, like Old Faithful. And when they come back down, she inhales in. And then when she exhales, the geysers go up all over that country up there. But now, since the vibration was taking place, what I begin to notice in 2000 was that the water was changing in Yellowstone, because I've been visiting and watching and studying the earth there, and it was drying up. And the steam was not coming out in a lot of the places like it was, because the vibration was now shaking the earth and was sealing the geysers underneath the surface of the planet. And that caldera was rising. And why was it rising? Because the cracks had sealed, and now the pressure underneath was being pressurized because the cracks sealed, and there was going to be a huge explosion. There were many people on our reservation having dreams and visions about this, and around the world, and they were coming to me, and even my own people, my daughter who had just passed away in a car accident just a few days ago, she was one of the main ones who was having a lot of dreams talking about this and giving this information to me along with other people in my own dreams, and so it was so evident. And they were saying that there was going to be cracks open on our reservation, and poisonous gases were going to come out, and the winds were going to blow it down on the people, and they would die from the gas alone. And many things were taking place, but these were prophecies forecasting what was going to happen if we didn't do something. So it's saying, a prophecy, here's a dream, this is going to happen. If you continue to do this, this will happen. But if you continue not to do that, then that won't happen. So through the prophecies of the people of the world hear these things, they think that they're going to happen, so they say, well, it's going to happen anyway, so I'm just going to do whatever I'm going to do, have fun, raise hell, don't worry about it, and just do the worst they can, for instance, and party and get drunk. And
eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die.
Yeah, that's it. That's what they believe in, because they think that that's going to happen. Well, if those thought forms brings those things into play and will make it happen. And we're saying for our peoples not to think like that. Quit doing these kinds of things that's causing that, called development, mining, war, that kind of sound. And so what's happening on the other side of Yellowstone Lake, on the other side of the world, is the Caspian Sea. And the Caspian Sea is salt water, and Yellowstone Lake is fresh water. The vibration took place in Yellowstone because of the roads that cut into the granite hillsides, and they blew them up with dynamite and vibrated it, and then they put all the buildings and houses and highways and so on and so forth, and et cetera, and et cetera. That vibration alone, with all of the thousands and thousands of cars now sitting on that blacktop, vibrating every year, and shaking it and shaking it, seals the cracks of the geysers. And then during the winter, they send in the worst vibration of all, is the snow machine.
Mm.
And the snow machines are shaking the earth, and all that kind of vibration is not needed in a very sacred site that is not to be bothered and left alone, because it's the lungs, and if it seals, it will explode. And I was being told that we had to do an acupuncture ceremony called a medicine wheel ceremony. 19 sacred sites around the Grand Tetons, which means 600 miles to the north, 600 miles to the east, 600 miles south, and 600 miles west. So that meant 1,200 miles north and south, 1,200 east and west. And so when I went to the people, we got together, and many people went to those places, and even around the world, people were sitting in many places. And on that day, we vibrated the earth for 24 hours. Starting with the morning star. And so when we did all of these things, this came into play. And so there was Mount Taylor, there was Mount Whitney, San Francisco Peaks, and then the rivers on the east side of the wheel. Went all the way up into Canada. And so people in Canada and everywhere. And so it was Arizona, Nevada, California, Oregon, Washington, and then up into Canada, and back down around into the United States again, into North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas. And right through those areas is just the circle. And when we vibrated the earth for 24 hours, the scientists were keeping track with their seismic equipment and scientific equipment, and measured all those things. On May 8th, with their gauges and the things that they had, it showed that the volcano went to sleep and slowed down its activity, and the earthquake stopped in Yellowstone National Park. On June 3rd of 2004, right after the May 8th ceremony, they were having a meeting in Mammoth Hot Springs in Yellowstone National Park, and they were inviting the indigenous nations from the area now to come for a consultation, because they were getting ready to do more development, and it needed the indigenous nations to sign off on what they're going to do. Like, they're going to develop certain areas in the national park for new visitor centers, or new houses need to be built, or roads needed to be rebuilt. So they have to call the Native Americans in to make sure they don't go through a burial site or a sacred site. And so what I understand is those representatives there are not very well trained enough to understand sacred sites. So I went to see what they were going to talk about. When I was there, they were wanting to get the okay from the indigenous nations in the area around Yellowstone National Park, which means Montana, Idaho, Colorado, South Dakota, and in the area of the region, had arrived there. And they were signing off. And the park was saying, well, we won't do this sacred site over here and develop it. If you go ahead and sign off on this, and you can go ahead and develop over here, we can do this, we can do that. And they were signing off. And I mentioned that we shouldn't sign off on anything. And they said, well, you're not a representative. So, well, I just came and did a ceremony over here with many of our people. And when we came together, we put the earth back together in sacred sound and vibration and repaired it, because of all that's being talked about here is development and doing these things. And we need to look at this and talk about this, and we have to retrain the national parks about what's going on and why this development is taking place and causing this place to blow up over here. We just did this thing and stopped this volcano. Then one of the tribal members from my reservation gets up and says, who do you think you are, Jesus Christ? If the Creator says there's going to be a volcano, there's going to be a volcano about it. And I said, it's not that. And in the many messages it says, prayers can move the mountains. And because of this dream and vision, it came. People who came together and did a sacred sound and vibration through a medicine wheel ceremony, and following their dreams and visions is what we were to do within our indigenous nations. And I came to all of you here in this room and asked you and your tribal nations to help, but none of you came. But now this is the message. And now I'm here again to speak. That it's not anger and hate that I'm saying, pointing fingers. What I'm saying is we have forgotten to understand Mother Earth and understand how she works. And she's calling upon us with dreams and visions. And now our people are so angry and hateful and pointing fingers saying, who's right and who's wrong? And that's what they're telling me, that I'm wrong for doing this because I'm going against everybody's traditions and cultures. And the Creator says, not that. It's that the people have forgotten to come together in peace and do the same ceremony together. It's the same way, but each one does it a little different. But it comes to the same processing and gets it done. And so on June 3rd, when I was there, the scientists were coming with their information, and they put their graphs up on a screen and projected it out, and they showed the earthquakes all the way from January of 2003 into now May 2004. On May 8th of 2004, it showed that the volcano finally lined out and stopped the activity that was once so powerful that they were, there could be a powerful explosion. And so that was the dream and the vision of putting this volcano to sleep again, was because of the prayers. And also on the ring of fire that would help alleviate some of those volcanoes in Washington and Oregon and down into California, but they would sputter, but they would not explode. They would implode and go down into the earth instead. But we had to keep working, bringing the information and knowledge about how to bring the rain and the snow and the water back in. And I predicted that the volcano would go away and that the snow and the rain and the waters would come back in once we did the ceremony. And that all happened. And everything that the spirits told me was what they gave me to give to the people. So I was just a messenger. And the people came together. It was they, the people, who did this. I was only the messenger, and we all sat together on that day. And it was a great blessing. And so, you know, I really thank them all for the love that they had for Mother Earth, especially the white people and the black people and the yellow people who came together, and the indigenous nations who helped also. And so the message was that we were to stay into peace and come back into peace. And so, you know, I belong with a group of people called the Spiritual Elders of Mother Earth, and I'm a seed carrier of carrying prophecies. And so at this time, I was out carrying prophecies and messages to the people, and then I started having these dreams.
Well, let's take a little break, and we'll go on from there, alrighty?
Okay. Tell me your great secrets deep inside your heart.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends, and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something. And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
Okay, folks, we're back. So go ahead and continue telling us this fascinating story. I know people are going to absolutely love this.
Well, again, as I mentioned, I've been initiated into a group of people, 30 tribes, called the Spiritual Elders of Mother Earth, and it was coming together, they say, and when I first met them, of the condor and the eagle, and coming together like the five fingers of the hand. And the prophecies had mentioned that until the nation of America comes into completeness and the tribes come together in peace and harmony, working together with one prayer, one dream, one vision to help Turtle Island, which is in the Americas, that floats in the middle of the water, this island that we're living on had to come into a sacred belief again, that all of the people understood how the earth worked, how the problems came, the trauma, and it was no one's fault. But the fault was that we begin to follow some directions and things that have been given to us now that was telling us to destroy the earth, and we had forgotten our original instructions to stay in peace. Because of the electrical energy, magnetic energy coming from the sun called the solar flares is being bombarding towards the earth, those electrical grids in New York City and other places were being shut down. So when the electrical energy comes, the animals get hyperactive and so do the humans. And so the messages and the dreams that were coming now were saying that it was getting close to a time now when Mother Earth was becoming in her cycle. So the 28th cycle of thousands of years now was like a woman on her moon for her 28 days. And so when she releases the flow of her life force, which was the blood within her, the seeds that no longer serve her purpose within her flows from her. And all the illnesses in her blood is picked up in the blood, and then it flows out of her. So she re-cleanses herself and cleans herself through the cycles of life, through the energy of Mother Earth, is the electromagnetic energy that keeps the cycle spinning and revolving within a circle through the 28 days. And so now through the 28,000, you know, the cycles within in the thousands of years, we were in that 28th cycle. And that meant that the emotional life force of the earth is water. And Mother Earth was going to cleanse herself of all of the seeds that no longer serve a purpose, which means repurification time is here. Any seed pod, human being walking on Mother Earth, which is her seeds, because she gave them to who? The woman is a seed carrier. And so all life that we get is from Mother Earth, so she supports all of us because we are her children. And the Father sent us in from above, the Creator, and brought us to the earth through woman and through man. And woman brought us in, and woman is being destroyed by man's negativity on her and put her into what's happened to her today. And she's been knocked around, beat up. The women are hurting the men, so the men are hurting the earth. So now the message was that through this cycle of water, the spirals will begin to work. So when the tsunami came, what happened with those things over in the area that we just saw where thousands of people died in India area when that tsunami came, well then that was the first movement of Mother Earth to really wake us up to show us that she is in control and she's going to take out the seeds who no longer serve a purpose. There's many who are doing things because they're rich and famous, so they have all these monies. But in that country, the people have been in turmoil. They've been in war for many thousands of years there. And they're in low thought form. I mean, sadness, loneliness, anger, hatred. They got slavery going on, sexual abuse, sex slaves. So you name it over there. And body parts are being sold, and humans are being sold. So therefore, she's going to take that low seeds out of the earth, low vibrational people, and cleanse them. That means she took their lives. And then they sent them back up. Their energy went back to the white light and was restored back up there. Now she's coming with nature. So it's repurification time now. And So because of these natural forces, that talks about Mother Earth is in her cycle now. She's going to clean up the Earth, and she will use all the forces that she has in her control and power through Father, the Creator, within the Sun, our grandfather. And when those solar flares are coming towards the Earth, wherever the electrical energy has been disconnected on the surface of the planet, or a hole has been dug, is where the light is leaking. And the prophecies say that the serpents will wake up underneath the Earth, and they will come to the surface, and they will wiggle, coming to the top. When that happens, there will be earthquakes. So where they've built buildings and tore big holes in the ground is where the light leaks. And when the solar flares and the magnetism of those solar flares pulls towards the Earth, the energy underneath where those holes are, where the tall skyscrapers are,
mm-hmm.
and buildings, they will shake like crazy, and all of those buildings will come tumbling down, falling down, and there will be disasters taking place. And these are prophecies of the indigenous nations. Because of the electrical magnetic energy, and every square inch of the Earth is sacred because of the electrical magnetic energy. But what has happened, the people have forgotten the cultures and are digging those big holes for the buildings, skyscrapers, or their own houses, or the highways, the railroads, the pipelines, the mining. And wherever those holes are dug is where the light leaks, and when that energy hits, wherever those places are is where there will be powerful earthquakes, tornadoes, volcanoes, floods, etc. That's what's going to take place. Until the people begin to understand that we as indigenous nations, before we dug a hole in the earth or did anything, there was a protocol we went through to do these things. So at this time, the dreams and visions are saying that we have to cleanse the whole earth of the negativity that has taken place and seal those places where the light is leaking. So when someone goes and mines an area and has a deep hole, like for uranium and gold and copper, that light is leaking out of the earth, the energy, the electrical energy, and we have to seal those places or we're going to have tornadoes in those areas. So this year we're going to see there's going to be a lot of tornadoes coming in many areas around the country in the United States and elsewhere around the world because of how the earth is being treated and not respected. So Mother Earth is going to wake people up, and a lot of people can perish in many areas. But it's called repurification time. So many people have to leave the planet in order to wake the rest up. But that doesn't mean that they don't get to come back, because they are born forever young. That means their energy goes up. It's all energy, and it just leaves and goes up. But some of them, they're saying, gets to go to the cosmic shredder. They've been so evil they've never learned the lesson, so they're just going to discontinue them. The others can be reborn again in many different lights and colors and ways of coming upon the earth again. So there's many stories that goes on with these prophecies speaking this, and there's many of them, and people are reflecting on them probably as I'm speaking in their own cultures and nations. And this is what I was told to give a message was about when these things begin to come into play now, is understanding if we have a house and we haven't prayed for everything in that house, then we need to pray for it and thank the Creator and Mother Earth for it, and to seal the surface underneath the house, because when this energy comes from the solar flares of the sun, and we haven't did those things and sealed the earth, then that's where we're going to have a disaster. Our houses could burn up, they could fall down, the skyscrapers could fall down, and the prophecies say that people will go crazy in the cities. And this is kind of the situation where we're setting, and saying that if we don't do something soon and speak about our indigenous wisdoms and knowledges, that this will take place. But the prophecies say that until the indigenous nations come into peace and work together with one heart, one mind, and work towards the direction of harmony and peace with the earth, that we have to sweep all of the Americas. We got to clean it because of what's happened with our thoughts that went into the trees, our thoughts that went into the soil, our thoughts that went into everything around us. And we were told in the past, if we went to a very sacred place, a peaceful area, when we arrived there, we'd take no weapons, we wouldn't argue with one another, we would all be in harmony and do that and be like that in those places to get healing. And we went into the sacred waters to get healed, to cure us from our illnesses, and we got healed there, our people in the past. Then when they left, they picked up the weapons and then they began to war out there and do those things. And they were never to be into war, but what happened in history was a trauma that happened before the Spaniards came, before, you know, the Spaniards and then the Europeans And now the Europeans trained us to think like them, and we're forgetting our traditional ways, because the lands have been taken away and put into bondages for mining and development to make money, and it's not understood that it's a sacred lands that we are all to use and work with together and not own it, that the earth owned us, and we're only the caretakers and the ones to watch over those areas, and we're given those areas to live in peace and harmony. So when the Europeans came here, they say in history that, well, look at these Native American or the indigenous peoples here. They got circles on the ground. Why don't they have carts? Why don't they have all of these inventions? Look, they must be stupid. Well, it wasn't that. It was that they were told never to make these inventions, because what would happen, they would turn into greed, and then they would want to develop inventions and all this and that, then they would tear up the earth. And what happened? Exactly that, when the Europeans came, and then the other nations came, and then now we have what we have, and we have destroyed the surface of the planet, of the electrical magnetic energy lines and the grids called Grandmother Spider Web of Life. So what Chief Seattle had once said in his famous speech of the ashes in there, there's a saying that says, what we do to the web of life, we'll do to ourselves. So what we're doing is destroying the web of life, the electrical magnetic energy lines called ley lines, which is Grandmother Spider's web of life, and that's what we have to repair in order to bring this wisdom to the whole world, that we will give this information and teach the whole world about this kind of wisdom into the environmental agencies, into every environmental place. And so, you know, a lot of people are hating Bush. We're not supposed to hate Bush. We're supposed to love Bush and thank him for teaching us all what we're not supposed to do. Not to have anger, not to have hatred, but to stay in peace and keep putting our great thoughts into prayers and saying, bless him, and we're to pray for people who are negative. They say, pray for our enemies, pray for the people who are bad, even those who hurt us. Pray for them for peace and not be angry at them and forgive them. And so we have to forgive Bush. We have to pray for him. And I praise him for teaching us all who we're not supposed to do, because he's putting pipelines up into Alaska. He's bombing, shaking the earth. And through their oil, they're destroying the earth. And through other corporations doing things. These are the messages that we're to thank them. And the people at a certain point in time would come to the consciousness of saying, oh, this is what it is. Oh, okay, let's get the rightful, peaceful leaders, and these things would happen. Those are the prophecies.
Yeah, you're right. You can't blame George Bush. I mean, he's a man of conviction. He's been taught by his preachers, and he probably hasn't read his Bible much. But, you know, I was talking with Ed McGaugh here on an interview here a few weeks ago, and we were going over Bible verses, and he was saying, you know, he says, you know, he says they believe this Bible, and he says the Bible believes, you know, that gives them the idea that they can put their neck on the, or put their foot on the neck of nature, and I said, well, not actually, and I pointed out a scripture in the Book of Revelation that says that the time would come, you know, to kill those who are killing the earth, you know, so that's and it's, you know, it's just. If people would read the scriptures and learn to think for themselves rather than reading books that are written by people that tell you how to interpret scripture, you know, we'd all get along a little bit better, I think. So, well, anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Well, that's what we believe also, that the Bible doesn't have all the information in it, and it's only like it's a history book, but people put all their faith in there. Well, if the rest of the information was in there, what I'm talking about, that we as Native Americans, indigenous peoples around the world, understand this wisdom that we have for the earth, and why isn't it in the Bible? Why is it a riddle in there that everyone has to argue over what's right or wrong? Why wasn't it put in there in simple language saying what I'm saying today, that this is how the earth works? Why isn't it put in there like that? Well, there's the one reason. It says that is a text that brings about a man. People came and put that into effect, put people into slavery to allow them to do what Bush is doing and using religion as a way to control people, to put them into the workforce to destroy the earth. And it's the religions who are destroying the earth, because they are the workforce who are the miners, the developers, the engineers, the scientists, and they're all into religion. But what are they doing? They're destroying the earth. And so the people go right back to work during the week, then they go to church. But they don't understand how the earth works, why the soil is important, the water, the trees, all that. That's what gives us our life. And they're destroying it, just like Bush. and they're saying that they're good people, and in the Bible, and so they believe Jesus Christ was the God of all things. Well, it wasn't Jesus Christ. There were many teachers who came to the earth to give us this information of staying in peace, and he was only just the one man who was manifested here to bring peace and wisdom. But people turned him into some powerful, like he's the God of all gods, when he wasn't. And so they have a hard time with that, so they go into theology and they argue over all this stuff. And if that is true, then why isn't that information bringing peace to the world? Well, it says that something's missing, and it's common sense, and, wake up, something's wrong here, what's wrong, what's missing, something's missing. So the Native Americans say, this is what's missing. So the Native Americans have been trying to give them that message ever since they came onto the shores of the Turtle Island here, of all of the cultures. But the thing is, the Native Americans, or the indigenous nations, were warring long before they arrived here, for a long time, and they were told too to come back into peace.
That's
and
right.
They did. Then here come the other cultures, and they were told to stay in peace too, but they didn't listen. And so now it was put into motion that the Creator says, okay, let's stir them all up in a big pot and put them together and let them bicker and fight, and then the wisdom will come in again, and then they will all become brothers and sisters with the Native Americans and the indigenous nations, pulling them together of the wisdom of how the earth works, how peace is, what the stars are about, what the earth is about, the trees, the rocks, the rivers, the water, all things that would begin to be retrained and re-educated in that. So the messages and the dreams and visions are coming, and they're saying that there will be new education, new technology, new government, and new finance for the future, because we cannot afford, the earth cannot afford to go through the pain and the misery that she's in now, and she's not going to allow it, because she's going to take back her seeds, because she's on her moon time. And with her emotional thing she's going through, she's going to cleanse it, and that's what she's doing. So it's called re-purification time at this point. So now, through these many forms of things that's going on, it's like the solar flares are coming to the earth, and the messages are again saying, when we're in low thought form or in low vibration, the vibration is rising higher on the earth. And what we have been doing now for thousands of years, we've been in the cave of the bear, in chaos and chaotic times. And now we've passed that period, and we're coming out of the cave of the bear, the darkness, and crossing into a new time period, into the sun. And so now we've crossed over this fine line and came out of the dark side of the sun, and are on the bright side of the sun now. And so now, if people notice, the sun is so bright, it's brighter than it has ever been before. So that means bright, white energy, light, electrical energy is bombarding upon us. And that means we'll be inspired inside us to be more energetic, our thoughts will race faster, our cleansing in our body, we're going through illnesses are coming to the surface because of the vibration of the rest of the planets in harmony. There's 13 planets revolving around the sun. And then there's one that's not in harmony, and it's vibrating like crazy and out of balance. And which one is it? It's Earth. Why is it out of balance? Because of the people's thought forms of anger, hatred, war, jealousy, pain, rape, murder, so on and so forth. And they forgot the original instructions. They were to stay in great thought forms with their minds, because the electrical energy that we get is in our thoughts, in our head. And I can project my thoughts across the street at someone with anger, and I could hit them, and I could knock them over, and they could feel it. If 20 and 30 and 40 people had those thoughts and pinpointed it towards one person, they could kill them.
Well, we got to take a little break here.
End of part one. Please refer to program notes for the scheduled date and time of part two. Thank you for supporting Prophecy Keepers Radio with your tax-deductible offerings to the Oklava Native American Church of the White Roots of Peace.
Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy Keepers.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
Let the truth be.
Washington.